Hello and welcome to another episode of the Matthew Talks About Sport podcast. I'm Matthew, and this is the first one we've done in about a month because I just haven't been doing them. But now that it is the school holidays, I'm going to be doing these more often. You might get two or three per week instead of the usual one. And to join me at the start of this podcast bonanza, I'm joined by my father, Dave. Welcome to the show, Dad.
It's great to be on again. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you again. And this episode is a bit of a special one because recently, and by recently, I mean just last weekend, we have gone to Melbourne to watch some AFL, and we're going to be bringing you all of our takes on the AFL games we watched. We're going to talk about the footy side of the footy trip, not the trip side, because neither of us are travel agents and I don't intend on being one. So we're going to stick to the games we watched. And so we saw three games, Melbourne-Brisbane on the Thursday night, Bulldogs-Hawthorn on the Friday night, and Carlton-Freo on the Saturday afternoon, and then got back home Saturday night. So starting, just general observations across all three, one thing that stands out is it feels like we watched the same game three times, but what are your general observations across the three games?
My general observations are... It was great to be back at football in Melbourne. We haven't been for 4 years, so it was good to be back at the MCG on Thursday night and then to catch a couple of games at Marvel Stadium Friday night and Saturday. It was great, particularly the two games at Marvel where, you know, there was a decent crowd in and the roof shut had a really good vibe about it. The standard of football across the three games was pretty good. They all sort of had a similar feel where the away team got away to an early lead and then the home team came storming back over the top and they all three home teams won quite comfortably. So Melbourne defeated Brisbane and the Bulldogs defeated Hawthorn and Carlton defeated Fremantle.
Yeah, so now we'll get into the specific games. It's worth noting with the last two games, the ones we went to at Marvel, we were seated almost next to the TV camera, which meant if you watched it on TV, you might have some similar observations to us. For the Melbourne-Brisbane game, which is what we'll talk about first, we were basically behind the goals. So interesting to see the TV commentators, like different perspectives and takes to what we've said. And also listening to some of the radio commentary during the game, you know, the way they can frame an incident where you didn't see it that way has certainly been interesting. But with Melbourne-Brisbane, I mean, it was Melbourne back at their best. Stephen May was back after having about a month out. In fact, I don't think we've done a podcast since he was injured the first time. So for those who have just been listening to the podcast, Melbourne lost for three games in a row, which stunned us all. Then they had the bye, and now they've come back in a great form. What were your takeaways from this game?
Yeah, so early in the game, Brisbane looked pretty good. Particularly most of the first quarter, they won their fair share of the contest. Eric Hipwood got a goal in about the first minute and they had a couple of goal lead in the first quarter and they looked okay. You know, this was the top of the table clash, first versus second. Whoever won was going to be top of the table at the end of the round. And you know, there's probably a little bit of anxiety for Melbourne supporters after losing the three games in a row, but then they settled and Oliver worked himself into the game, ended up with a massive amount of football in the middle. I think Jack Viney was inspirational through the middle as well. And I think particularly when Brisbane were looking sharp early in the game, Jake Lever was a defensive pillar for Melbourne, and some of his intercept marking and defensive work was fantastic. And so Melbourne, you know, they hung in there when Brisbane were firing on all their bullets. And then sort of through the second term, Melbourne began a period of dominance that we saw sort of late last year and through the finals, and we saw several times earlier this year where when they get on a roll, they're really hard to stop. And they got on one of those and kicked right away and won the game quite comfortably.
Yeah, I'm willing to say in my limited experience of watching football, the Melbourne team, when they get in the role, is the best on a roll is the best team I've seen live, just from that one game. I only saw one game of that Hawthorn team that won 3 in a row, and that was a loss for them, so I can't really attest to how they played. And I don't remember much of the Geelong team in 07 to 11, although watching replays of that, I reckon they were a pretty good team. But this Melbourne team is just the greatest team I've seen play live, just the way they work. Even without Max Gawn, Luke Jackson was able to stand up. Down the forward line, Fritch had a pretty good game, except for a complete brain fade at the start where he didn't pass the ball and got tackled. And we had perfect viewing for that. It just looks shocking. But, you know, as Melbourne settled, they got into their groove. Like you said, the midfielders were brilliant. Petrarca and Oliver just got the footy, got clearances, got the contested possession and, you know, really changed the game. And I think there was I think it was in Sliding Doors, Damian Barrett's column. He said, you know, Jack Viney, if there was a category for tone setting, would be in the elite category. The fact that he could stand in as captain and just the hits he copped, and he just kept running in and kept attacking the footy and kept winning it for Melbourne. He played really well. One main observation of mine, other than what I've just said, is how important defenders are in modern footy. Stephen May was back. I don't think it was his best performance. I think it was really good, but I think the best thing he did was allow Jake Lever to run free. May was kind of there in the background while Lever was able to dominate the foreground. And if May wasn't there, Lever might not have had the game he had. And at the other end, I reckon Harris Andrews had a decent game for Brisbane. It was just that come the third and fourth quarters, he'd just been worn down a bit. But defenders, you know, play a really important role in the game. Do you have anything else to say about this game?
Yeah, so just from a Brisbane point of view, a number of them seemed to pick up injuries in the game. So I think it was Jared Lyons got crunched and had to go off. Harris Andrews hurt a shoulder and had to go off. And then, you know, that arm was, less effective, if not ineffective, for the rest of the game. So that made defending a bit harder, but credit to him for persisting. Interestingly, after the game, the Brisbane coach, Chris Fagan, said it was their worst performance of the year. And, you know, when it's first versus second and the, you know, one team wins by 64 points, you know, that's an enormous confidence booster for Melbourne. And if those two teams play against each other in the finals, then that's going to be a real issue for Brisbane to overcome that, I think.
Yeah, and I think that one interesting thing that that this game sets up is both teams run home, where they obviously have to play each other again, this time up at the Gabba. Melbourne still have a couple of hard fixtures, but with Melbourne's good form and a hard run home and Brisbane's, not good form now, but a really, really strong run home. I think other than the Melbourne game, they play more or less just bottom eight team, bottom 10 teams. I may be wrong on that, but, you know, it sets up an interesting battle for first, especially with Geelong winning recently. But yeah, have I just screwed up Brisbane's run home? Do they play?
Well, they've got to play Carlton, you know, but yeah, we'll come to that later.
Oh yeah. Well, That's Saturday's game, but moving to the game in between, the Bulldogs Hawthorn game, this wasn't quite as high quality. Both teams at the time were a bit outside the eight. Hawthorn wanted to prove themselves. They came out firing, and the Bulldogs didn't show up for the first quarter, which I think is a bit worrying after the Geelong game a few weeks ago. Now this one, I think if they want to beat the good teams, they're going to have to show up early, but they weren't playing a good team, and so they were able to wear Hawthorn down and just dominate throughout the back three quarters. What were your takeaways from this game, Dad?
Well, a few things, really. So, again, Hawthorn, the first quarter, I thought they played really well. Their pressure was up. Their defensive pressure was high. They were forcing the Bulldogs into turnovers. They dominated possession and dominated ground position and had a 4-1 lead at quarter time and then kicked the first goal of the second quarter as well. And you thought, are we watching the beginning of an upset here? And then and then it all went to pieces for them, and the Bulldogs sort of found another gear and went on a 13-goal run over the second and third quarters and into the fourth quarter as well. 13 unanswered goals that put the game right away. To Hawthorn's credit, they played some free-flowing football in the last quarter, and the last quarter was really quite entertaining. The 7 goals apiece in the last quarter.
That was great.
That was fun. But I think for the Bulldogs, they'd be very pleased with the outcome of that. They seem, even though, I mean, they're in the positive on the win-loss ledger now. I think they're 8-6. But their percentage is very high. When they win well. They can put teams away. They can put on a lot of scoreboard pressure. And the other night, they kicked 19 goals. And, I think they'd be fairly pleased with that. I thought Riley West played a great game in the forward line for them. Jack McRae, I think, played very well. Tom Liberatore was probably best on ground, both for defensive pressure, and he seemed to have quite a bit of involvement in score chains and things like that. I thought for Hawthorn, CJ played really well in the first quarter, but then sort of went out of the game as Hawthorn went out of the game. Mitch Lewis up forward, he's a good footballer. I think he's gonna do some good things over time. But the Bulldogs just too strong. It just looked like one of those games where the underdog came out firing and then eventually got worn down, and when the Bulldogs ramped up went to another level, they just couldn't go with them.
Yeah, the Bulldogs really put in a good performance, and it's clear they're a tier or two above Hawthorn. Disappointing for Hawthorn. Looking at the score involvement statistics, obviously, Bontempelli got 13. Riley West, I reckon that's his career best game. He got 13. They were both excellent at half forward, and then Libba in the middle. He got a lot of turnovers that then helped set up the forward goals, as opposed to the back goals. But he just did a really excellent job turning the tide for the Bulldogs. And in that regard, played well. It was also exciting to see Aaron Norton play. The big flying hair with the headband, he'd run through and crash a pack, kick a goal. He was entertaining to watch, and a bit of a fight happened when Sisley actually pulled out his headband. But overall, I'd say it was an entertaining game between two teams that aren't quite the top caliber, but certainly the Bulldogs are a pretty good team, and 125-83, that's over 200 points. You're going to enjoy your footy if that's the score. Just looking at the AFL website, the coaches' votes have just come out. So I'll just quickly go through those for the games we've spoken about. So Melbourne, Brisbane, Viney got all of them. I think that's fair enough. Lever got 8. So all the remaining ones he could get. So they've both had, real excellent games. Petrarca and Oliver got 5 each. They both played really well, not really disagreeing with the coaches here. And then James Jordan and Luke Jackson each got 1. I think James Jordan in particular was a bit underrated this game. He had a great game. Then the other game, Bulldogs Hawthorn, Libba got 10 votes. Riley West got 7. Scrimshaw got 4. Didn't notice him much, but I think he had a decent game from the bits I've seen. Bontempelli got 4. Like I said, brilliant off of half forward. Norton got 3. And then Lewis and Dunkley each getting 1. I reckon Lewis probably could have gotten a couple more, but most of his goals were once the game had been iced. But do you have any final comments about the Bulldogs Hawthorn game, Dad?
No, it was an entertaining game and thoroughly enjoyable. It was great to be there for it.
Yes. Now, moving on to the last game. This was your favourite one. It was the Carlton Fremantle game. And, at the first quarter, it looked like the away team was dominating. It looked like, there was some questions about whether this would be different to the last couple of nights or would go on the same way. In the end, Carlton came home really strong, managed, you know, a 5-goal-1 second quarter, and then that propelled them onto victory. Tell us what you think of this game, Dad.
Well, I loved it because Carlton won, and it's the first time I've been at the ground in 12 years to see them win a game. Not that I go that often, but that was a nice bonus. So coming into the game, you know, Carlton, they've been a bit up and down, certainly in terms of manpower in the back line. They've lost a number of players to injury, and so it was always going to be interesting to see how they covered that, particularly with Taberna coming back in for Fremantle and Fife being back now. They had a real opportunity to stretch Carlton's defence. Even though Fremantle led on the scoreboard in the first quarter, a lot of the general play was Carlton's end, but they just looked like they didn't have an efficient system going into their 50 to take advantage to kick goals. So that was frustrating, but you know, that sort of slowly turned around in the second quarter, and they started getting the goals I thought they deserved. Some of their play is a bit helter-skelter, and so I think, you know, with a little bit more composure, they probably could have even kicked another 2 or 3 goals before halftime and really had a decent lead. But it was really, really pleasing to see them go on with it, because often when they've opened up leads before in previous games, they've fallen away. But this time they maintained their rage. And there was a period of time in the third quarter where Fremantle were on top and narrowed the margin back down to, I think it got to 7 points at one stage. And, you know, I was a bit anxious then, thinking, are Carlton going to finish this off? And pleasantly, yes, they did. They got a goal just before three-quarter time and then managed to kick away a bit in the fourth quarter and ended up winning by 5 goals. And that was a good, comfortable margin. In terms of stars for Carlton, Sam Walsh was outstanding. He had 40 possessions for the first time in his career. And notice he got the 10 coaches' votes as well, which really they couldn't have gone anywhere else. Charlie did okay, kicked his 4 goals. There's a couple of times where I thought he looked like taking the game apart, but he just made the most of his opportunity. Fan favourite from our group, Matt Cottrell kicked 2 goals, personal best for him. So we were very pleased about that. And you know, a party at the end to sing the song. And Jack Nunes played his 200th game, kicked a goal. I got around him, which was fun to watch. And it was a good vibe afternoon for Carlton supporters.
Yeah, well, I was going to talk about some of the individual players, but you've summed most of it up there. Sam Walsh, on top of 40 disposals, had 11 inside 50s. Hewitt was also up there with that one. And, you know, Carlton's dominated the centre clearance and the clearances generally. They played very manic footy. Like you said, sometimes they moved a bit too fast and stuffed up opportunities. But on the whole, moving quick has been, you know, what it's a sign of a good team. Brisbane the other night, they moved the ball too slow and Melbourne found them out. And we were commenting, you know, if they just made those kicks just a bit quicker, Melbourne might be trapped. Same thing with Bulldogs Hawthorn, and Carlton wouldn't fall into that trap. They got the ball moving quickly and just didn't give Fremantle time to build their defensive structures. And Carlton dominated from there. A few players who did well in some stats that I haven't quite mentioned yet. Will Brody did a really good job for Freo. He was definitely their best player. Adam Saad had some good run, although some of his ball usage was a bit iffy. It was kind of interesting to see when he got the ball, he'd either like completely stuff it up or he'd like set up an attack that would end up in a goal. He was having, you know, one of those days a bit. Doherty was a good general in defence in the absence of Wiedering. Hewitt and Kennedy great in the middle. Nunes in game number 200 just played well. It was just a good performance from Carlton all round. Have I mentioned De Koning yet? He had a great game. He managed to beat Sean Darcy in the ruck. And the other thing Carlton did well was to slow down Andy Brayshaw, keeping him to 27 touches at a disposal efficiency of about 75%. But he only had two inside 50, so he wasn't really allowed to impact the game. But yeah, what are your final thoughts on the Carlton win?
Just want to mention one other player is Jack Silvani. He's sort of been the second ruckman with De Koning while Pitnett's been out. And I think he has improved markedly this year and managed to get forward and snag a goal. And I just love the effort. Took a great mark, a good defensive pressure. I think Carlton's defensive pressure was exceptional and really helped set the win up. So with all the key backmen out, they really had a cross-the-ground defensive pattern that forced Fremantle to play under pressure and forced a lot of turnovers. Which was good because they were seriously undermanned in defence. And the final comment I've got to say is that it was Coach Michael Voss, after the game, said it was Carlton's best performance of the year and their best four-quarter performance. So, you know, that's telling as well. So, you know, sets them up nicely for a run at the finals and hopefully we'll win a few more games and make the finals and see what we can do.
Yeah, it was a great performance from Carlton, who now sit fifth on the ladder. Didn't move, but they're equal with seconds now on points, not quite percentage, with the game against St Kilda next. Freo have a game against Port Adelaide. I think they're going to make top four, but they're probably on the worst side of that top four, and Carlton will really give them a run for their money. They just have to get past Melbourne, Brisbane and Geelong to get there. That's going to wrap up the third game. Do you have any final comments about the three games of footy that we watched or even just footy as a whole this week?
Well, I guess we can wrap it up in the little phrase that we kept saying to each other while we were there for the three games. How good's footy?
Oh, yeah, it's so good. It's, yeah, just great, great part of Australia. It's really what makes us, you know, so lucky to be down here with great sport, great footy. It was just a great experience. And, yeah, hopefully we can get down to Melbourne again soon, watch some more footy games in the next few years. But other than that, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Matthew Talks About Sport podcast. I'll do an episode on the rest of the round at another point. But thanks for joining me, Dad. It was great to have you on.
Very great pleasure to be on talking about a Carlton victory that I saw in the flesh.
Yes, it was brilliant. And thanks to anyone for listening. And remember to keep coming back to the Matthew Talks About Sport podcast.